Professor Mike McCann discusses how Michael Jordan won a trademark case in China's Supreme People's Court. This is The Legal Impact, presented by the University of New Hampshire Franklin Pierce School of Law, now accepting applications for JD graduate programs and online professional certificates. Learn more and apply at law.unh.edu. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or hosts and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. So, Mike, what was this case about?
Sure, AJ. So the case was about Michael Jordan's 8-year quest to stop a company in China from misappropriating his name, image, and likeness. The company has used his identity or something extremely close to his identity to go from what might be a random sportswear company in China to one that opened over 6,000 stores and made a lot of money because of its use of a word that is his name in Chinese. It's a transliteration, so it's not a translation. It is how his name would sound using the Chinese language. And the company really didn't try to shy away from what they were doing. They registered trademarks in about 200 properties that are connected to Jordan, including even the names of his son. So basically, it's Jordan saying, stop this.
And this has had a decades-long journey. Can you give the highlights?
Yeah, so under Chinese trademark law, it is a first to file, whereas in the United States, it's first to use. And the distinction's important because it has allowed a company in China in the late 90s to file trademarks that initially weren't about Jordan, because it was the first logo was a baseball player. I don't think it was about Jordan playing baseball for a year. That's not really a career highlight for him. But what it did was it took advantage of Jordan's popularity in China and across the globe. Back in the mid-1980s, Jordan became a star in basketball. He went from college to the NBA, the Chicago Bulls, and he quickly became the NBA's best player. And within several years, he not only was the NBA's best player, but he became thought of as the NBA's best player ever. And he also did movies and commercials and just became the celebrity person that was extremely marketable. He became the face of the NBA in a way that no player, even Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, as much as they did, they never reached Michael Jordan status. And the company in China basically said, well, we're going to use that identity. We're going to use the word used to describe him in Chinese, coupled with a logo that looked a lot like the famed Nike Jumpman logo. Wasn't identical, but it was really close, and other things as well. And again, under Chinese trademark law, they filed first. So under Chinese trademark law, they obtained these rights that Jordan later on said misappropriated. So fast forward to the late 2000s, Nike's trying to register trademarks in China because basketball had become much more popular in China. Beijing hosted the 2008 Olympics. Yao Ming became a star in the NBA. China's economy grew considerably at that time. So there's more of a consumer class. Nike's trying to sell products there, but they ran into a problem because this other company had already gotten those properties connected to Michael Jordan. So Michael Jordan brought a suit. Over 80 lawsuits have been involved from this litigation that began in the early 2010s and now just concluded.
Now, how exactly did the Supreme People's Court in China rule on this case, and how might have it been different than what was ruled in the past?
So they ruled in a way that was different by saying, yes, Michael Jordan's name has been misappropriated, that the company in China used his name, again, not a translation, but a transliteration of his name. And now there were some hurdles to this for Jordan because the transliteration is the word Jordan, and there are other NBA players that have had Jordan. Now, of course, Michael Jordan's in a class of his own. The fact that a few other guys played in the NBA with that last name was seemingly a weak argument. But the fact that it wasn't actually his name became important. LeBron James has used the fact that his own name in contracts in Chinese has been used. That distinguished him from Jordan, where this word wasn't actually Jordan's name. So the court nonetheless felt that it's enough of a copy of Michael Jordan's name, but it wasn't a total victory because his image and likeness wasn't considered a part of his protected identity. So that means the logo can still be used and the company doesn't have to pay anything to Jordan, So it's a win for his name, but not the other aspects of him.
Do you think this ruling was also an international political move on behalf of the Chinese government in order to encourage further economic partnerships? I mean, the NBA has been trying to get a foothold into China, as well as all the other professional sports leagues for that matter, because it's a huge untapped market that's quickly trying to become a first world nation.
That's right. I think there's reason to expect, and without knowing as a fact, I think there's reason to suspect that there's a connection there. And the United States and China have a new trade deal, which likely plays into it, where the United States government is looking for more intellectual property protection for American businesses that do work in China to ensure that those businesses' intellectual property isn't misappropriated and infringed upon. So there's possibly, I think there many experts would say there's a connection between these things, where after years of Jordan not getting the win that he has demanded, now getting it right when the U.S. strikes a trade deal with China. Again, you know, is there a connection there? Maybe it can't be proven, but, you know, life isn't always coincidental.
Do you predict more cases to be brought in light of the success of Jordan? This was a huge factor when it comes to economic relations, like you just said, especially in the realms of tech and design. So this kind of goes more in the design copyright realm, but this has been a long-term issue with this country.
Yeah, it has been a long-term issue. And it wouldn't surprise me if Jordan's win gives hope to American entertainers, athletes, and businesses in all sorts of spaces, including the tech space that you referenced, to protect names. Again, it doesn't go to image and likeness, but names themselves can have a lot of value, as we know, especially in the tech industry. So it could give them hope and could give them precedent that helps them out.
Have any of the leagues or players spoken out about this at all?
They haven't, not yet. And I think for the NBA, they're in a delicate situation with China because of the fallout of last summer, last fall, where a tweet by an NBA general manager about Hong Kong, a fairly mild tweet, it was by Daryl Morey, nonetheless became a political controversy that the NBA has tried to mollify, but hasn't been entirely successful, it seems. Now, all of this is sort of in suspended motion because of a COVID-19 pandemic where nothing's really happening right now in terms of games. But as the pandemic weakens and hopefully is defeated, you know, NBA will certainly want to try to get back in China because it is a marketplace that would be beneficial. Obviously, the political stuff is tricky because in the United States, we have a First Amendment, not true in China.
Thanks for listening to The Legal Impact, presented by the University of New Hampshire Franklin Pierce School of Law. To help spread word about the show, please be sure to subscribe and comment on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. See you next Thursday.